News and interviews from across the world and right here in the central Susquehanna Valley. This is WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us here on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Center did a fabulous job again, as always. We very much appreciate his hard work. With us now, movie Mike McGranahan, professional movie critic. His website, aisleseat.com. He's a staff writer for Screen Ramp, Screen Rant, a member of the Broadcast Film Critics Society. And he's got a resume a mile long, so I'm not going to read it all. He's an author, too. At Aisle Seat on Twitter, and his appearance is sponsored by the Campus Theater. You can check out their stuff at campustheater.org. Okay, Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Yeah.
Please.
Ralph Breaks the Internet finds Wreck-It Ralph leaving his video game and venturing onto the World Wide Web. John C. Reilly again provides Ralph's voice, and Sarah Silverman is also back as his best friend Vanellope. Together, they use the arcade's Wi-Fi to hop online so they can find a replacement part for her game in order to prevent it from being scrapped. Along the way, they make pit stops at eBay, Twitter, Pinterest, and a bunch of other websites you're probably familiar with. Several appealing new characters are added for this sequel, most notably a female driver in a hardcore racing game played by Gal Gadot. She becomes Vanellope's role model. Ralph Breaks the Internet feels a little overstuffed at times. The web is a big place, so trying to spoof everything about it can be difficult. That said, the movie's jabs at online culture are often hilarious, and there's a worthwhile message for kids about avoiding the more toxic areas of the net. Once again, the animation is impressive, especially in the way it conceives of the internet as a large, crowded, always-moving city. The characters remain lovable, and the sequel develops them in interesting ways that set the stage for future adventures. All in all, Ralph Breaks the Internet is a massively entertaining family film. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 3.5 web browsers.
Wow, 3.5. Now, I saw the trailer, and I'm thinking, great film for kids, you know, blah, blah, blah. But you say there's depth to this.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a movie about how the internet has changed our world and about how the internet can be a place for good or a place for not so good. And I think it works for adults and kids. The first Wreck-It Ralph was brilliant. It's one of the best animated movies of recent years. This one is not quite as good, but it's close. And so I think that people who enjoyed the first one are also going to enjoy this one a whole lot.
Well, the first one, as I recall, just had spectacular voicing, you know, just great characterization done by the live actors that were, you know, in a sound studio. Same story here?
Yeah, very much. They have excellent voice actors. And a Gal Gadot, who plays Wonder Woman in those movies, she's really good playing this kind of a more hardcore version of Vanellope. She's also a female racer, and they have a really interesting friendship that develops throughout the course of the movie. So they do some new and interesting things with it. Like I said, the first one stuck very much to video game culture, so it was a little bit more contained. This one's trying to make fun of the whole internet, which can be a little overwhelming at times for the film. But they get a lot of stuff right. And it's a film I highly, highly recommend.
Educational? Life lesson? I always look for those in some films.
Yeah, a little bit. These are, in a lot of ways, films about friendship. And this one, Ralph has to kind of accept that Vanellope is going to have other friends other than him. Her name is Vanellope.
Okay.
That he's not going to be her only friend. And the film is really about learning to be okay with things like that and about how friendship is important and it's good to have multiple friends. And then, of course, there's the little bit of message about how the internet has some dark places and you know, people say mean things on the internet and hurt other people's feelings and by hiding behind a cloud of anonymity. So there's a lot going on in it. I think that kids can pick up some interesting messages from it.
Well, I'm wondering if kids will permanently visualize the internet in the images that are in the film.
They might, yeah. It does help kids to understand a little bit about how the internet works. They get inside and all of a sudden it's this big city, and if they want to go to a website, they have to go to a search bar and find out where it is.
Oh, a search bar.
Right. I mean, it's just all kinds of funny jokes like that. But my older son is 10 years old, and when it was over, I said, "What did you think of the movie?" And he said, "That was incredible." So yeah, the movie definitely hits the target audience, but then my wife and I enjoyed it too. So I think it's just a great movie for all ages.
3.5
web browsers.
Web browsers, yep. Okay, like Chrome or Explorer, whatever. Okay, right. Web browsers. All right, fantastic. All right, well, thank you. We appreciate that. New movies. Friday's your movie day, mm-hmm. so you'll get to see something new.
Yeah, we got four new movies opening today, starting off with Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Miles Morales becomes the Spider-Man of his reality and crosses paths with his counterparts from other dimensions to stop a threat to all reality. This is an animated Spider-Man adventure, and it does bring in this character of Miles Morales. It was a really great comic book series that introduced him as another version of Spider-Man. So I'm really, really excited that they're going to bring his story to the big screen because that he's a phenomenal character. And this movie is getting some of the best reviews of the year. A lot of people are saying it's the best of the Spider-Man movies, of all of them. So that opens today. We've also got The Mule, in which Clint Eastwood plays a 90-year-old horticulturist and World War II veteran who's caught transporting $3 million worth of cocaine through Michigan for a Mexican drug cartel. Clint Eastwood coming back. He always comes in with a movie in December, it seems, sort of in that last minute before the end of the year. And this year it's The Mule. We've got Mortal Engines. In a post-apocalyptic world where cities ride on wheels and consume each other to survive, two people meet in London and try to stop a conspiracy. This one comes from producer Peter Jackson, who made the Lord of the Rings movies. And finally, we've got Once Upon a Deadpool, which is basically just a PG-13 re-edit of Deadpool 2 with a few new scenes featuring Deadpool and Fred Savage that spoofed the movie The Princess Bride. Do you remember that movie from the 80s?
Oh, yeah.
And Fred Savage played the little boy, and his grandfather came in and read him the story of The Princess Bride. Well, for the PG-13 version of Deadpool 2, the grown-up Fred Savage is in bed, and Deadpool is telling him the story of Deadpool 2. So, kind of a way for kids who couldn't get into the R-rated version to be able to see Deadpool 2 without all the violence and the swearing and things like that.
What do you think about that?
Well, it's not unprecedented. When I was a kid, Saturday Night Fever, which was originally rated R, was re-edited into a PG version and put into theaters because the movie had been so phenomenally successful and John Travolta was so hot at the time. So this has precedent, but if you've ever seen the PG version of Saturday Night Fever, you know it really does not work as a PG movie. It needs to be R. Deadpool 2, I suspect, is the same way. The movie is very adult-oriented through and through, so mm-hmm. to cut some of those things out and make it PG-13, I have a feeling that some of the impact is going to be lost there.
All right, so we'll keep an eye out for that. You'll see all of these films eventually, and which one are you seeing today?
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I've been eagerly awaiting that one.
All right. Well, we'll look at aisleseat.com later today to see how you made out. Or about takes you, what, 24 hours or so for turnover on these sometimes?
No, my review will be up later this afternoon.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I try to get them up quickly.
Oh, good. Okay. Critics' Choice Awards are out. These are the ones that you do have some respect mm-hmm. for versus the ones we talked about last week. What did we hear?
Yeah, the Critics' Choice Awards, given out every year by the Broadcast Film Critics Association, of which I'm a member. And this year, the leading film was The Favorite, which ended up with a total of 14 nominations, including Best Picture. Black Panther was the second most nominated film, with 12, also including Best Picture. First Man received 10 nominations. And Mary Poppins Returns, A Star is Born, and Vice all earned 9 nominations.
Right.
So very, very nice roundup of films and performances that we have. Our Best Picture nominees are Black Panther, Spike Lee's Black Klansman, The Favorite, First Man, Green Book, If Beale Street Could Talk, which opens today and is absolutely one of the best movies of the year. It's only in limited release. Mary Poppins Returns, Roma, A Star is Born, and Vice. So those are our Best Picture nominees for the Critics' Choice Awards.
And which one got the most awards overall?
The Favorite.
The Favorite.
Yeah, which
okay.
stars Emma Stone.
All right, fantastic. Well, I haven't seen that yet. All right, well, so.
Yeah, that one hasn't hit locally yet, but hopefully it'll be coming here before too long.
All right, we'll keep an eye out for that. And you've listed these at aisleseat.com?
I have reviews of most of those. I still have to write my reviews of If Beale Street Could Talk and one or two others, but yeah. And Vice doesn't come out until Christmas, so I have to hold my review until closer to the time on that.
But you have seen it?
Yes.
And should I be excited? Or
absolutely. It's great.
Wow. Okay.
It's great. One of the best films of the year.
Fantastic. Oh, and that's about the vice president. That's right. We talked
Patrick
a little
Cheney.
Bit about
yep.
that last week. Jake Gyllenhaal's going in a movie, a remake of the Danish thriller The Guilty. You tweeted about that this week.
Yes. The Guilty opened in limited release and on demand last month. It is an amazing thriller. And Jake Gyllenhaal's going to star in the English language remake of it. This is a story about a guy who works at a 911 call center. He's kind of a disgrace. based cop who's been demoted, and he gets a call and comes to believe that a woman has been kidnapped and that her children have been left abandoned. And he spends the whole movie kind of skirting the rules, trying to help her. But it all takes place in this call center, and it's just him on the telephone. But it's absolutely one of the most riveting things I've seen in a long time. So Jake Gyllenhaal going to star in the English language remake. But if you have iTunes or Google Play or, you know, whatever your on-demand service is, go and search for The Guilty, because it's very much a worthy rental for you.
All right, The Guilty. All right, we'll keep an eye out for that. Sandra Locke died. You mentioned that today.
Yes, Sandra Locke passed away at the age of 74. She's an actress who is most well-known for starring in a bunch of movies with Clint Eastwood, Bronco Billy, Every Which Way You Can, Sudden Impact. And they had a relationship at one point that ended very, very badly. They made all these movies together. They were together as a romantic couple for a long time. They broke up, and she eventually sued Clint Eastwood, saying that after they broke up, he took steps to sabotage her career. And in fact, when they broke up, her career really did have trouble continuing. She directed a couple of films that did not get widely released. So there was a lot of contention between the two of them. But she was a very talented actress, and she passed away. It was announced yesterday that she's died. So Sandra Locke, certainly a notable screen presence, and I hope she rests in peace.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you for all the information, and thank you so much. We invite folks to go to aisleseat.com and find out what Mike is doing, or follow him on Twitter. As soon as your review is posted, you tweet out your results.
Yep, right? Absolutely.
Fantastic. We'll look at it then. Thank you so much, Movie Mike.
Thank you.
We'll see you at the movies. CampusTheater.org, sponsoring Movie Mike on WKOK.